It's Tuesday and time to read from your emails and blog comments. We heard from many of you during our program on some of the new ways to test for hidden biases, or the bigot in your brain, as one guest put it. Kevin wrote us from Ypsilanti, Michigan. I took the Harvard Implicit Associations test online. The results indicated that I had a small amount of negative feelings toward people of a Jewish background. I was surprised, since I have several close Jewish friends, real people, not just the kind of rhetorically summoned to deflect accusations of bigotry. The test also said I was more likely to associate guns, knives, and other weaponry with dark-skinned people. If these tests can actually be said to detect bigotry, they could prove to be a very useful tool, but good luck getting people to accept their results. A caller during the program admitted that she had also fought against subconscious feelings of prejudice. When a black man came walking toward her some years ago, as she told it, she became nervous. In the end, though, it was a white man on the same street who tried to assault her. She got away. Malcolm emailed in response, "I was that same black man a month ago walking toward a young white woman during my lunch break. As we approached each other, she proceeded to cross the street. It took everything in me not to yell that stereotypes are lies. But I've come to understand that we are all recovering racists. It's only the degree to which we're recovering." At the museum last week, we talked about the challenges of covering the Olympic Games in Beijing. News organizations have fought with the Chinese government over everything from where they can report to what topics they can cover. And we asked you to tell us what kind of reporting you expect from the Games. Do you want to hear about life in China, or do you just care about the gymnastics, the swimming, and the track and the field? For Gary Walston, a listener in San Antonio, it's all about the competition. The Olympics is about several thousand young people who have, for the past 4 years, been working to be the best in their sport. Many times, good things happen in spite of the media carping about the current host nation. Of course, China will unfairly limit the freedom of the press. That was a given going in, but that's not the story. The story is about the finest of our world testing their skills against each other. Another listener saw that very differently. Our culture and our politics are inextricably intertwined. To think that any subject can be covered without paying attention to context robs it of meaning, and that includes the interplay between the Olympics, China, their culture, politics, ours, along with the others that will be interacting during the upcoming games. That from Laura Matthews in Denver, Colorado. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Susanna George, David Gura, Enrique Rivera, Ashley Grashaw, Dahlia Martinez, and Barry Hardiman. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Beth Novi produces our web content. Our intern is Elizabeth Anderson. Gwen Newton directs the program. Our associate producer is Sarah Handel. Drew Reynolds is our technical director, and he gets engineering help from Melissa Marquis. Our theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Talk of the Nation's supervising senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. Richard L. Harris is NPR's director of afternoon programming. And this is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.